You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Grace Curley Show. So, two things that have been in the news a lot. China and trains. Now, I'm looking at Fox right now. It says Blinken is now telling China they should not be working with or helping Russia. Again, anything to back up these I don't even want to say this tough talk, because when it comes from Blinken, it's not even tough talk, Jared. At least with Biden, you get a little bit of the bravado. You get a little bit of the old angry man yells a teleprompter about McDonald's. With Blinken, you just get blink. He's just blinking. He's blinking at the camera. That's all he does. He always looks like he's afraid of his own shadow, and yet he's going to tell China what to do. Yeah. Okay. Sure. I'm 100% positive they do not care what Tony Blinken has to say. In fact, remember at the beginning of Joe Biden's presidency, when things were going really bad, but not nearly as bad as they were going to become, Tony Blinken met with some Chinese counterparts about the human rights violations occurring in China. And his Chinese counterparts basically took all of the left-wing talking points and agenda and threw it back in their faces and were like, you can't lecture us on human rights violations. Your country's racist and bigoted, and according to the entire platform Joe Biden ran on, you have plenty of work to do with your own issues. And Blinken was just sitting there, you know, oops, didn't see this one coming. He had no follow-up. But now he's going to tell China what to do in regards to Russia.
Now, I told China in no uncertain terms that this is not cool, man.
It's really not cool. And if you guys don't cut it out, I mean, I'm going to have to send you another letter, apparently. And China's just, they're petrified. I want to mention one other thing here, because we're going to focus a little bit on China in a local story that a lot of people have been expressing interest in. But before I do, this weekend I was watching that new Netflix show. It's called Full Swing. And it follows around a lot of the heavyweight golfers who have a lot of name recognition. Like the first episode was Justin Thomas. The next one was Brooks Koepka, Scottie Scheffler in there. A lot of guys. I do like to watch golf occasionally. My dad loves golf, so I watch it with him. And it was interesting because a huge part of the documentary, I don't know if they meant it to become this, but a huge part of it became about LIV, the Saudi-backed league. And of course you knew, like Netflix and the guys from the PGA, they were going to do everything they could to make all these guys who signed up for the LIV-backed thing seem like the worst people in the world. How could they do this? It's so morally wrong. And there's plenty of arguments to be made there. And I'm not here to defend Phil Mickelson or anybody else who makes tons of money. But all I kept thinking of the whole time was, where is this energy from all of these reporters, like as Howie would call them, bow-tie bum kissers? You had all these guys who were, you know, in the sports section of these wonderful publications that I don't read. And they're all expressing, like, they're really, really upset by this. They're really upset by the fact that these golfers would stand on the side of the pariahs in Saudi Arabia. And I looked at my husband and I said, where is this energy for China ever? Does anybody ask LeBron James or anybody from the NBA or anybody in these big Disney movies about China? No. And so I can't take people seriously. Like, when you're morally posturing and you're lecturing everyone and you're virtue signaling, but you only do it in certain circumstances where it's cool or it's okay or it's approved, you lose all your credibility.
I was very skepticism.
Yeah, I was very skepticism too. I was watching this this program going, oh my gosh, we get it. You don't agree with what they're doing. But none of these reporters would say boo, would say jack bleep about anything that occurs in China. And we have plenty of ties with our athletes here in China. Let me tell you that much. Now, as we're talking about this, we've talked about China trains. There's one story that kind of brings them both together here. Now, this is from the Herald. Stunning amount of problems with China train deal exposed. So you've probably heard of this before, that there's this company. It's CRRC. And that is the Chinese contractor that the MBTA hired. Now, according to the MBTA, it's a shocker here, it's not working out. So minutes from closed-door meetings held last year reveal an escalating number of defects with the new orange and red line cars and repeated criticism by the MBTA that its Chinese contractor was taking a lackadaisical approach to resolving them. These documents, obtained by the Herald, show that CRRC only delivered 9 of the 34 two-car orange line train seats it promised in January of 2022, reused safety-critical hardware on trains, and submitted approval to proceed forms to bypass inspections where cars were missing materials. Similarly, the minutes show the Chinese company force-closed quality item reports issued by the MBTA without actually resolving identified defects and making the necessary repairs at its Springfield facility, which the T described in a May 31st document as extremely concerning and unacceptable. What could possibly go wrong here? The MBTA wasn't dysfunctional enough. They had to bring in a Chinese contractor to kind of outsource this stuff. And I know it's Springfield, but we're getting no information from this contractor. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of follow-ups, probably only from the Herald. I don't think you're going to see a lot about this at other places. But the number is 844-500-4242. Another topic that I've been itching to talk about here. We mentioned Marianne Williamson and how she's thinking about running in 2024. She's the light beam lady, the light beam into your skull woman. And Bernie Sanders was on CBS over the weekend. And there were two funny cuts that came from this. One is that this Nikki Haley competency test theory, because of Don Lemon, has really, now it has legs. Now everybody's talking about this idea that if someone's over a certain age, they should be forced to take a competency test. I don't think Bernie Sanders has ruled out running. You might say, you might call me crazy, but I'm not any crazier than all these old people who want to be president. So I don't think Bernie's ruled this out. And he was asked about Nikki Haley's comments and whether or not he's offended by it. Because everybody's so flippin' thin-skinned that Bernie Sanders, is he offended by Nikki Haley saying that people over the age of 75 should have to take a competency test? So let's take a listen to Bernie's response. This is Cut 8.
Former Ambassador Nikki Haley is running for president, as you know, and she said there should be a mandatory mental competency test for politicians older than 75. You're 81. Do you take offense at that?
What does she mean? I don't understand what you... I think that's absurd. You know, there's a level...
Absurd.
Yeah. We are fighting race...
Can you pause it there for a second? The fact that Margaret Brennan laid out exactly what she was talking about, and then he said, what did she mean? If you're trying to prove that old people don't need competency tests, I don't think not understanding that question is a good start.
Yeah, I think he was trying to make a joke of that. Oh, what'd she say? I'm old.
Oh, was he trying to play into it?
He was trying to play into it. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. No, what did she mean by that? I'm old. Everything's scary to me. But yeah.
In that case, it
fell flat.
Well, obviously, because I didn't even understand that that's what he was doing. But maybe I'm getting old too. But is it that absurd? I think it's like one of the more reasonable things I've ever heard, that after the age of 75, people should have to take a competency test. Everybody talked about this when Trump was president. They wanted one every single day. Like if he made a funny joke, they'd be like, this is why he's losing his mind. Cognitive decline. We need the 25th Amendment. We need these tests. And now you have Joe Biden, who can't get through a sentence without a teleprompter and a full staff of people keeping reporters away, and suddenly the idea of a competency test is absurd. But the better part of this interview, I think, was the fact that Bernie Sanders has a new book out. Can I get the sound effect Howie plays? When Howie's promoting his books, we always play the same sound effect, and that would be the ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. So Bernie Sanders is promoting a book. This is almost like a Babylon Bee headline. He's promoting a book about how much he doesn't like capitalism. And the book costs, get this, it costs money to buy. And furthermore, if you want to watch his book tour, you got to go through Ticketmaster, which we've been told by all of our politicians, Democrat and Republicans alike, the Ticketmaster is this evil conglomerate, and then they're stealing, you know, they're charging these absurd prices. Bernie Sanders is using Ticketmaster, or at least some of these bookstores are using Ticketmaster to sell tickets to his book tour, which you'd think in his kind of wonderful communist world, these tickets would be totally free. Or maybe the rich people could buy tickets for people who can't afford it and kind of disperse them. But instead, he's selling a book that costs money, and he's selling tickets to this tour. And so he goes on CBS to talk about how much he hates capitalism. I'll tell you this. I don't think capitalism hates Bernie Sanders. You've got three nice houses, and you're selling tickets to a book tour. Capitalism is pretty sweet on you, Bernie. Let's take cut 9, please.
But I have to ask you, you're going on tour to promote this book, It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. And you're here talking about it. I understand we're not the bad guys you're describing in the book when it comes to the media. But tickets for your tour apparently are selling for $95 on Ticketmaster, which is accused of anti-competitive behavior. You know that. Some of your Democrats are criticizing them. Aren't you benefiting yourself from this system that you're trying to dismantle?
First of all, those decisions are made totally by the publisher and the bookseller. I think there's one case where in one place here in Washington, politics and prose and independent books are charging some tickets. Most of them, I think, are $40, $50, and you get a book as well. So if you want to come, you're going to have to pay $40. I'll throw in the book for free. And we're doing a number of free events, but I don't make a nickel out of these things at all.
But you're okay doing business with Ticketmaster?
No, not particularly, but that's, again, I have nothing to do with that.
He sounds like he's on QVC. For a man who hates capitalism, he's got a knack for it. He's really good. That part at the end where he says he doesn't make a nickel off of any of this. Can I get a fact check? I'm going to follow up on that, Bernie. I will be following up on that. You know, there are people like Greta Thunberg. She comes out with these books and she gives all of the profits to, or the proceeds, whatever you want to call it, to certain causes, you know, saving the world, saving the climate, whatever it is. But I always check that when they come out with books to figure out where this money's going to. Based off Bernie's history and based off his real estate profile, I don't know how much of his proceeds have been going, like 100% of my proceeds go to this organization. I think he's doing okay. I would love for someone, I don't know, a reporter, not the bad guys in the media, whoever they are, whoever Bernie thinks the bad guys are, probably me, but whoever the good guys are, I would love for you to look into this, maybe do a discount double check, figure out, is Bernie making any money off these books? At one point, he told us, I think, that that's how he became a millionaire. Or is that Biden? I get my millionaires all confused. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth and your smile. But what he really does is he helps build your self-confidence. I love going to Dr. Houghton. I love his whole team. They are the nicest people. They love what they do. They're passionate about it. And you're going to look forward to going to meet them and going to get your teeth cleaned or fixed or your smile transformed. Whatever it is, you want to be surrounded by people who you know are the best at what they do and you know you're in good hands. And that is the team at Perfect Smiles. If you've thought about it, you've put it off, you've procrastinated, you've said, I've got other people to worry about, put yourself first, do something for yourself. Think about checking out Perfect Smiles and visiting Dr. Bruce Houghton. You can visit them online at perfectsmiles.com. They're located right off Route 3 in Nashua, New Hampshire, and there's plenty of parking, very easy to get to. I actually drive there for my appointments, and then I always make it back to work in time. Very simple, and the team is just magnificent. You can't beat them. So go to perfectsmiles.com, change your smile, change your life. I'd love to take some calls on. Do you think Bernie Sanders, here's the question. Do you think Bernie Sanders hates capitalism? I'm going to say no. We'll be right back.
Blah, 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 blah.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
We build a coalition of nations from the Atlantic to the Pacific. NATO to the in the Atlantic, Japan in the Pacific. I mean, across the world.
I'm sure that's how it was written. He's just reading off the teleprompter. If you have a problem, take it up with his speechwriters. Don't try to blame Joe.
Randomly blurting out words.
Yeah, you know, he put out a tweet today that's ticking people off. He put up a picture of a letter he wrote. I think it's to Zelensky. He likes to leave these letters behind. I think he thinks it's really romantic. Takes him back to his old days, you know, Jared, before the typewriter and all that good stuff. And he wrote, "Kyiv has captured a part of my heart. I knew I would be back." You know what I wish could capture a part of his heart? The United States of America? All of us? What do we have to do, Joe? What do we have to do to get you to pay attention to this country, to care about this country? Is there anything? How much ice cream do we need to send to you? How much flattery do we need to give you for you to give any sort of bleep about what happens here in the United States of America? He really just doesn't. The only time he's talking about Americans is if he's talking about how racist we are. You know, or how evil Republicans are and how they want to cut Social Security. Otherwise, can't be found. He's missing in action. 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is who's had the worst response to the disaster in East Palestine? Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, the EPA, Governor Mike DeWine, or the mainstream media?
Everyone's had a pretty pathetic response. I would say Pete Buttigieg because I really can't stand him and he's tried everything except for taking responsibility. But because Joe Biden did this surprise visit to the Ukraine and he's leaving his letters there and he's talking about how he's going to help them with their pensions, which we should play that cut again because I can't believe that. I can't believe the disconnect. I can't believe his administration thinks when they get back on Air Force One, nailed it. This is going to go over really well. So I got to give it to the guy at the top here. The buck stops with Joe. I mean, it doesn't, but technically it should. I'm going to say the president.
Joe Biden polling at 22%, good for third place. The mainstream media in second place at 23%, 45% for Pete Buttigieg in the lead, 6% for the EPA and 3% for Governor Mike DeWine.
Well, what's interesting about the EPA, and by the way, you can vote at that poll question at gracecurlyshow.com. There's still time to make your voice heard and vote. What's interesting, though, about the EPA is that I was reading today that a lawyer, a top lawyer from 9/11, his name is Michael Barish, and I just want to read you this one paragraph. He told Breitbart News that news of the incident followed by the EPA's insistence that air is safe, sent shivers up his spine, especially given that clients of his are dying every single day from 9/11 toxic dust. He compared the EPA's assurances following the 2001 terror attacks with its recent ones, and Barish, a longtime legal advocate for first responders to the 9/11 attacks and others, argued that 21 years ago, the government at least had a reason. They wanted to reopen Wall Street. They should have been honest with people then and said, look, if you don't have to be downtown in your office, stay away until the fires go out. He said, and that's what they should have done here. But they didn't. And now we're getting all sorts of, and this whole thing about these government officials drinking water. Like, oh, look at, I'm drinking the water. That would give me absolutely like 0% reassurance on anything. That does not sell me whatsoever. And I don't think it sells the people in East Palestine either. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I want to talk a little bit about January 6th and some of the footage from that. But before I do, two stories that stood out to me today, and one of them has received a lot of national coverage, is the murder of what looks like the murder of the auxiliary bishop in Hacienda Heights. A person of interest has been detained in the shooting death of L.A. Auxiliary Bishop David O'Connell in Hacienda Heights in Los Angeles. Bishop David O'Connell was found dead over the weekend. The 69-year-old, who was a priest and later a bishop with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles for 45 years, was pronounced dead at the scene. On Sunday, authorities announced that the death was being investigated as a murder but did not provide any information on a possible suspect or motive. Very scary story. I've seen it a lot today. I will keep you up to date if we learn more. And another story I want to keep you up to date on, because we reported on this when it first happened. It's a horribly tragic story. A 13-year-old boy was visiting his parents, and I'm sorry, his grandparents, and he was killed. He was gunned down, 13-year-old Tyler Lawrence. And we actually played audio of his mother on this show because I was so moved by it. She was absolutely heartbroken. Now, Tyler is from Norwood, and he was staying with his grandparents in Manhattan for the, I'm sorry, in Mattapan for the weekend. And he did that all the time. He'd stay there. And he went for a walk. He was listening to music. This was around 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And he was gunned down. Now, the person is Sean Shiz-Skerritt, who I guess is a heavy hitter for the Moore Street gang, drove up nearby and killed this little boy for no reason. They really have, so far, they can't figure out why. I don't know if he thought he was killing somebody else, but it is a horrible story. And one thing that makes me happy is he's being held without bail because of the severity of this. I wish this happened more often in this country. But I'm happy it's happening in this case, because this is just, it's just heartbreaking. 13 years old, adorable, seemed to be a wonderful kid, and shot down in cold blood in the middle of the day on a Sunday afternoon visiting his grandparents. It's just unthinkable. Another story today that I wanted to hit before the end of the show has to do with January 6th. So this has been kind of going back and forth on Kevin McCarthy. Some people think that Kevin McCarthy is not going to release the footage from January 6th. So when Kevin McCarthy was trying to become speaker, there were a lot of reasons that certain MAGA Republicans, including MAGA Republicans in Congress, were skeptical of how he would do with the job. People think he's a rhino. People think he's a squish. And so he had to prove himself. Remember that circus that went on for like 6 days where he had to prove that if you guys elect me as speaker, which, hot damn, he wanted that job. I've never seen anybody want that job as much as Kevin McCarthy wanted that job. But he had to prove to them, if you elect me, I'm not going to let you down. Well, over the weekend, I saw reports like, oh, Kevin McCarthy's not going to release the footage of January 6th because he doesn't want the American people to know, because he wants to be, you know, cover up for Democrats, whatever. You know, people jump to a lot of conclusions. But then I saw another story that he's actually giving Tucker Carlson access to these tapes. You're smiling, Jared. You're nodding your head and you're smiling. Do you care to weigh in on this?
I think Tucker will do a very good job.
You feel confident
of getting this video out there in an entertaining manner, but also in an informative manner.
You think these tapes are
in good
hands?
Who's this Ray Epps guy? Is that Ray Epps?
No, I agree with you.
Look,
though,
it's Ray Epps.
I think Tucker has great producers. I think they put together a very good show. And I feel as though these tapes are in good hands. And it's a lot of tape to go through. So let me give you some of the details on this. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has given Fox News' Tucker Carlson exclusive access to 41,000 hours of Capitol surveillance footage from the January 6th riot. 41,000 hours. I'm happy that he gave that to Tucker and not to the Howie Carr Radio Network, because that would be a lot of sitting through footage, Jared. That
yeah, poor
is,
Emma.
Yeah, Emma, you should be thanking your lucky stars right now. 41,000 hours. Now, why does it matter? This is from Axios. Carlson has repeatedly questioned official accounts of January 6th. Imagine someone questioning official accounts. Again, I know I keep saying this today. It's like the theme of today's show. That used to be the job, Jared, not just of right-wing lunatics like Tucker Carlson, but of the mainstream media as well. Journalists used to question things. They used to be skeptical at one point. Now, Carlson's TV producers were on Capitol Hill last week to begin digging through the trove, which includes multiple camera angles from all over Capitol grounds. Excerpts will begin airing in the coming weeks. This sounds good. I'm excited about this. You know, people are often surprised because I don't talk about January 6th that much, but a couple weeks ago we did a poll question where I said, which investigation are you most looking forward to? And there were a lot of good ones. I mean, we've seen a lot of them. We have big tech looking into Twitter, looking into that censorship. We have Mayorkas looking into what's happening at the border, the disaster there. Obviously, we have the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Tony Bobulinski, you know, shady business dealings, laptop from hell investigations. But I actually chose, I think for all 3 hours, I chose January 6th. And I got a lot of responses from people who were surprised by that. But the reason I choose January 6th is because when you think of the amount of money, the amount of talent that was brought in to produce those C-SPAN soap operas, and the amount of time that was spent on it. But then you also consider how few questions were actually answered. Like the real basic questions. When something occurs, Jared, in the kitchen, for example. Let's say hypothetically I broke one of Howie's mugs. Here are some basic questions. Who broke it? When did it break? Where did it break? That's the level of what, when, why that I want to know about January 6th. I just want to know the stuff we should have known within 5 days of the event. Why did the Capitol Police, why did it seem like they were welcoming people in? Why didn't Nancy Pelosi have security there if she was warned that there is potentially a reason to have security? These are really fundamental beginner questions for January 6th. And maybe since our media can't ask these questions, our politicians certainly can't answer them. Maybe the videos will hold the key to these enigmas, to these mysteries. Maybe the videos will unlock all of this uncertainty. I know, I'll be watching. I'll be tuning in for sure. 844-500-4242. And as we are discussing 2024, I mentioned Marianne Williamson. There's also a lot of talk about Ron DeSantis because he's kicking off what Fox is describing as a pro-police tour in Democrat-run cities. Is it fair to say, Jared, you're the governor of Florida, you're in New York. I think today he was actually in Staten Island. You're talking to policemen in Staten Island. I think it's fair to say you're running for president, right?
Yeah, that's not really within the governmental mandate.
I think we can all pretty much bank on the fact that he's running for president. And he's kicking off this tour in New York City to speak with law enforcement officers in blue-led cities who feel unsupported. Lord knows there's plenty of those officers. He's not going to have a hard time finding those people. So it appears that DeSantis is running for president. But so far, all we have in the GOP race is Nikki Haley and Donald J. Trump. And I think over the weekend, Donald J. Trump was actually sending out some truths about Ron DeSantis. I believe now he's gone from Ron DeSanctimonious to like Ron the Meatball or something. I'm going to be real.
He specifically said he would not call him Meatball Ron. Well, calling him Meatball Ron.
Oh, it's Meatball Ron.
Or whatever. Yeah, it's one of those things. I can't believe they called him Meatball Ron. Meatball Ron is a terrible nickname. I will never call him Meatball Ron. Wink, wink. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't get the meatball reference, but
is he making fun of his weight? Maybe.
I don't know. I don't eat Thai food. So.
I mean, it's the nicknames are getting a little weak. Maybe. I mean, the first round of nicknames in 2016, those were some great nicknames.
I don't think he came up with meatball. It sounded like somebody else came up with meatball.
Yeah,
he was
Jared, was it a friend of his that came up with meatball?
The guy next to me
at Mar-a-Lago, my good friend, Ronald Frump, came up with the nickname Meatball Ron, and I'm just relaying it.
Yeah, it was. It sounds like somebody came up with Meatball Ron. He's like, no, I refuse to do it. But by repeating it, he obviously was doing it.
Well, I know I'll get hate mail from one of my favorite listeners, Dean. He sends me really mean, nasty emails if I ever say anything even remotely critical of Donald Trump. But I will say this about the Truth Socials, because people send me them sometimes. Like, did you see this? Trump's attacking Ron DeSantis, or Trump's attacking insert anybody's name who he thinks of, Rihanna, anybody who comes into the mainstream, he will attack them. Here is my criticism. We could talk about whether or not it's good for the GOP, have that conversation all day. We got plenty of time to have that in the future. My main thing, Jared, is the old expression, brevity is the soul of wit. And when Trump was on Twitter, I'm going to encourage him to get back on Twitter. Because when he was on Twitter, those tweets, for the most part, they were short, they were spicy, they got to the point. You know, they really, he was in and he was out. These Truth Socials, very wordy. Sometimes people send them to me and I'm like, whew, this is a full paragraph going after Ron DeSantis. Just my take. But bring on the hate mail, because I need some more material for later on in Howie's show. And one more update for you before we bring on Howie Carr. Democrat John Fetterman could remain in the hospital for over a month. Now, Jared, you were out when this story first broke. You were not here. But John Fetterman,
the least surprising story,
he checked himself in to receive treatment for clinical depression last week. I have made my opinion on this very clear, which is I find it so sad that no one in his life, especially his wife, Giselle, who's been soaking up the spotlight, who has been loving the fact that the media focused almost immediately on her, that no one cared enough about this guy to say, in the words of Barack Obama, you don't have to do this. Clearly, physically, he's not well, and mentally, he's not feeling great right now. And I say that, I'm not being snarky, I'm not being a jerk, I'm not reveling in this in any way. There should be someone in your life who cares more about you than they care about you winning a Senate seat. And clearly, there's no one in John Fetterman's life who feels that way. Clearly, his wife, Giselle, wanted the fame or the power or the status. And so she just said, keep going with it. And I'm not saying he couldn't have made the decision himself, but in a lot of it reminds me a lot of Joe Biden and Jill. Where are the people who say, you know what? And you know who got a lot of heat for this back in the day, Jared? Was Rachel Campos Duffy. She was on Fox News once. And on the curvy couch, I think. And she said something along the lines of, like, shame on Jill Biden. And she talked about how, as a wife, like, her number one priority in her marriage is making sure her husband's okay and protecting her husband. And that Jill Biden doesn't care about Joe. And Jill Biden's staffer, who soon left after the breakfast tacos incident, was so upset at Rachel Campos Duffy. How dare she? She owes Jill an apology.
How dare you?
Why? Why? What did she say that's not accurate? Your husband's tripping up the stairs, doesn't know where he is, and he's talking to ghosts, and you don't think it's a good time to pull him aside and say, hey, honey, it's okay. It's okay if we wrap this up. Instead, according to Nancy Pelosi, Jill Biden is the one who's really rah-rah for 2024. And it's hard not to draw a parallel to Giselle Fetterman, who was getting all this praise and all this attention when her husband was struggling during his campaign to become a senator. I'd love to say that you could leave it up to the voters and they would decide, but clearly that doesn't happen anymore. 844-500-4242, but the Wall Street Journal says that his hospital stay could range from weeks to more than a month. And I do hope he's okay. I do hope he finds, you know, what the help he needs. But I just wish we weren't in a position where he was a senator. Because it is our business. Once you become a senator, it is our business. Otherwise, I would say it's none of my business what he's going through. But it becomes our business. Because you're in a powerful position that you never should have been in if anybody had any common sense in your inner circle. Clearly, they don't. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we're going to talk to Howie Carr about Angus King's enemies list. And if he thinks it compares to Dick Nixon's. I have a feeling I know what Howie's going to say, but we'll be right back with the captain.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Grace Curley Show. We are thrilled to be here. If you missed this, the latest edition of the Twitter files shows that Maine Senator Angus King's team was requesting the removal of hundreds of Twitter and Facebook pages, as well as, you know, anyone who was posting anything that they classified as weird or critical, I believe, of Angus King. This is from the Post Millennial. And the person, the reporter who was on this story was Matt Taibbi, who's done a great job with a lot of these Twitter files. It said on Facebook, King's team reported an account for sharing a post with the walk away hashtag, which they labeled as divisive content. Accounts with less than 150 friends or only like far right sources have an odd assortment of photos, used stickers, or were out of state were all flagged. One profile who had works at the Krusty Krab in their bio was also reported for making a common reference to the cartoon SpongeBob SquarePants. So Angus King was not happy about this. Do we have Howie Carr, Jared? I wanted to ask him about this.
I believe he'll be with us momentarily.
Okay, well, while we wait for Howie, I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. Representative George Santos is admitting that he's a terrible liar in a Piers Morgan sit-down interview. That's going to be fireworks. Because Piers Morgan, you know, I don't mind Piers Morgan. He's pretty tough when he wants to be. Howie Carr, thanks for joining the show. We only have a minute left here, but I wanted to read you Matt Taibbi's quote about Angus King's enemies list. He said, if Dick Nixon sniffed glue, this is what his enemies list might have looked like. What's your reaction to Angus King flagging everyone and anyone who he thinks are putting up posts that he doesn't like?
Well, like, so he's an independent, but he's really a Democrat. And like so many Democrats, he's got a total glass jaw because he's had a free ride his entire life. You know, those papers up there are so terrible. The Press Herald, the Bangor Daily News, the Kennebec Journal, they haven't laid a glove on him for all these years. And so he's just used to being treated with kid gloves. And I mean, so he wants he basically wanted anyone who followed his opponent, Senator Brakey, to be banned from Twitter. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful, airtight way of winning is just to have everybody who supports anyone that goes against you kicked off of social media.
Right. I mean, the crap that people write about me on Twitter, I mean, I never even think about doing anything about it because, you know, it's not because I have a thin skin like everybody else, but I believe in the First Amendment. Jesus, you know?
Well, Howie, people can hear more about the hate that Howie Carr gets later on during Hate Mail Monday. You have that to look forward to. Howie's got a great show planned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back tomorrow.